on.
There we go. Now I've got that nasty job trying to keep you awake. It's a hard one. I've taught workshops at Christian school conferences, and boy, you got the one that's after lunch. You know, you want to teach them, and I'm a good teacher at this one, how to snore. I want to talk about something that, you know, my wife's been traveling with me for about 2 years. In fact, she has been a blessing to have her. I was in a neck brace for 3.5 months after an operation. She drove, I guess, about 2,000 miles. I was known in Maine as a stiff-necked preacher, one of these hard plastic ones, so I had to preach like this, you know, and I had to kind of hold my notes up to see them. But I wasn't going to stop. But she drove and drove, and it was good for her because in our marriage, I've done most of the driving, except if she was going to town. She said, really, it was good because she, you know, drove at night, drove back, and got me there, and I appreciate it so much. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Now, this is going to be like the introduction to some things. It's not going to be teaching. It's going to be preaching. The introduction to some things I want to talk about Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning. I did start doing a study on this. Where we live, we have like we call it a workroom. I've got a desk. She's got a desk. And I started studying, I don't know, a while ago on this, and I read what other guys have written and, you know, and so forth and continued studying. I found so much, and this is what you're going to hear in four messages. It's kind of the offshoot of this. We hear a lot about sowing, and of course, there's the parable of the sower. We hear about sowing, but you know, there are all kinds of sowing mentioned in the Bible. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That word, you know, mock, the idea of this. You won't outwit or outfix, outfox God. What you sow, you reap. And there's a teaching throughout the Word of God in this whole idea of sowing and reaping. The basic principle of sowing and reaping is found throughout. It is ordained. You know, there's the time of sowing, the time of reaping. You know, the time of, it goes on. You're going to see throughout the time as we speak on this. When the sower, when the farmer plants wheat, what does he expect to grow? Wheat. I'm going to talk in just a few minutes about potatoes because that's where I relate in northern Maine. But that's what they did. And they pour their life into this whole thing of sowing and then reaping. But maybe there's some things you never thought about that the Bible talks about that I hope would be a help to you. God has told us to be careful where we sow and what we sow. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Now, what we're sowing is either an instrument of righteousness or instrument of the flesh. We're not just talking about soul winning now, though that will come into this some too. But as far as sowing and reaping, my grandfather was a potato grower in northern Maine. Now, in northern Maine, my wife tells me, they don't say potatoes up here as potatoes or taters. That's just the way it is. And acres and acres and acres, and I was a boy. In fact, for you children, you'd find this interesting. We started school in the middle of August because when harvest time came, school closed, and we were out in the field picking. And we picked for 2 to 3 weeks. I bought all my school clothes. I bought my first bicycle. Didn't hurt me a bit. But then there was another part of it, too. A part where my dad would say, my father worked at another job, but he would go help my grandfather out, and I did too, what we called cutting seed. Now, maybe you don't, you know, you eat potatoes, you've had potatoes. You think, what's a potato seed look like? A potato. We used to have a barrel like this with a board sticking and a sharp knife sticking facing you. You put tape on your fingers, and here you got a barrel of potatoes, and you take one, and you have little eyes on them. And so you're taking that potato, and you're going like this, to make sure there's a piece of potato that falls in the barrel with an eye on it. And so you're doing this right light right over you. Cold, cold potato house. And you're there and you're what you call cutting seed. So I earned money doing that too. Oh, you get fingers caught once in a while. But that was important because then my grandfather and his crews, he was the foreman, had 4 farms over 100 some acres each of just potatoes. And so they had the planters out there planting potatoes. So that was then, and then of course in the fall, there were potatoes. potatoes and potatoes. And it wasn't just, you know, as you think of potatoes, there are different kinds, russet, Burbanks, mountain potatoes, different types that he grew, but potatoes. And so I want you to think about that as we look at what we're going to talk about this afternoon. God says to us, you're to be sowing. You see, I know it's soul winning. No, not just that. Sowing. It's going to take faith. What would you think of a farmer? And we got some people today that would be this nutty, that they would go out over the potato field and they say, okay, I'm not going to plant this year. Lord, put the seed in the ground. You say, he's, a few bricks short of a load there. Something wrong with him. Because we just expect. You sow, then you reap. We always want to reap. That's more fun. But the sowing. And this is what the Bible says over and over. But it says, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. One of the teens in our Christian school used to throw this at me. Don't forget, Pastor, what goes around comes around. True. And then he'd say to me, don't forget, if you play, you pay. And he learned that's true. Because he played. And then he'd get in trouble, and then we'd have to deal with him. You see, prayer of faith, no, the Lord said, I want you to plant. He must have a great faith, but yet he must do what he's supposed to do. Well, we expect the Lord to do everything. And he said, no, I want to do some of it right through you. And there are various areas that I want you to be active sowing. But don't be deceived. If you're not sowing by the Spirit of God working through you, then you're sowing by the flesh, and you're going to reap there too. And we think, oh, I'll get away with it. No trouble. Not won't be any problem. Oh, you won't. You won't get away with it. There's a law in the Bible of seed time and harvest. Boy, it's hard for a pastor. You see folks that, oh, they're starting to go this way. You can just see them kind of drifting off of some teenager. And they're beginning to plant wrong, and you know what's going to happen. We had a girl in our Christian school that I coached her in basketball. We took her on a mission trip to Western Ontario. A girl that was planning to go to Bible college and then be a missionary. After her junior year, I began to see it partway through her junior year, something was happening. Her rich grandparents bought her a new Jeep. And so she had to go take driver's ed. She met some unsafe kids, started hanging around with them, had the Jeep so she'd get around after she got her license, met an unsafe guy, and she didn't come back for her senior year. After all, she said the public school had more to offer when I went to talk to her. It was such a change. She was making a choice to sow by the flesh. She never made it to Bible college. She got pregnant. I think she's got 3 children now. I was back in Palmer last month, the very first Sunday, and we got there on Saturday, and some folks from the church wanted to go out to take us out to eat. And we're going to this nice restaurant. It's a railroad station. And as I'm sitting there, and I look over at the bar, guess who the bartender was? The one that was going to be the missionary on the mission field. You know what she's doing now? She's sowing. And she's sowing. It's going to affect her kids. She's made wrong choices. Whatsoever a man soweth, God won't be mocked. He said, you can't mess around that way and expect you get away with it. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, here's a very simple principle, and I'm making it simple because I know you're not thinking real clear. You've had a big dinner. Somebody asked me, was the dinner great? And I used an expression that they use in the church in New York where I was. Some of the Italian guys, if you said, was it a good supper? And they used to say, I ate like I was going to the electric chair. You know, it's like the last meal. Well, you ate. And now you're sitting there and like this. So very simple. First of all, here it is. Number one, to reap a harvest, you must sow a seed. To reap, you must sow. You say, well, our pastor's been hired to do the sowing. Scripture and verse, please. Sowing. To reap a harvest, you must sow. But you can sow the wrong type of thing, and you're going to have a bad harvest. And you're shocked, and then you hear things like this. It isn't fair that God did this. It isn't fair that God allowed this. They were sowing the wrong thing. And so here comes problems. Now, I think of God, he told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, that if he would leave his country and his kindred, he would make of him a great nation. So he sowed by faith. He left his kindred, and the Lord made of him a great nation. He planted by faith. He trusted what God said, and God blessed him. He sowed by faith what God had told him to do. He sowed in the faith of gathering his family and leaving the land he loved, and eventually he reaped the promise of a nation. Now, do it the way God works. Do it the way he wants you to do it. Don't try to cut shortcuts and say, well, you know, the world's got a new way, pattern, a way to do this now. No. Do it God's way. It's hard sometimes. I enjoyed talking with your pastor last night. He was sharing with me their first years on the mission field. Wow. And he wasn't asking for pity. He had nobody playing a soft violin as he told me this. I've heard this from missionaries before. And yet, we send them and say, y'all take care now, you're here. Go. Difficult. They're out there trying to sow. Hard. It's hard work. Sometimes at the risk of your life. We see here where Abraham was told to go, and he sowed by faith, gathered his family. What about Moses? He was told to confront Pharaoh and to say to Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, that's just what I wanted to hear. No. It was going to be hard. He didn't realize it, but when Moses went and he did what God would have him do to say, let my people go, then all the plagues came along and the way God was dealing with Pharaoh. You know what Moses was doing? Sowing. By faith. Did he reap? Yes. God blessed. God worked. Was it hard? Yes. And if we're going to sow for the Lord and do various things that God would have us do in our lives, it is going to be hard. So Moses sowed in obedience, and God liberated the children of Israel. Wow, so he was sowing, and he was reaping. Oh, by the way, you know, you can also talk about David, where he sowed some bad things with Bathsheba, and did he pay? 4 sons all died off in various ways. And yes, God used him later, but listen, he did some wrong sowing looking off the rooftop that day. And yet we expect to get away with that, and we've been told by the humanists of this country, oh, listen, don't listen to those preachers. You can do what you want. You have the freedom to do whatever you want. Oh, praise God, we have the joy of saying, Lord, what would you have me do? I say this respectfully, and I say this reverently. Jesus Christ sowed. He left heaven's glory, came to this earth, and he hung on a cruel Roman cross for you and for me. They drove nails in his hands and his feet, drove a spear in his side. He was buried in a grave, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And we enjoy the fruit of it. Are you getting it yet? And this is just the start. If you're going to reap, you've got to sow. Jesus was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, number 2, does that mean you reap only what you personally have sown? Turn to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. Wake up. Come on. You know, I don't see anybody nodding off yet. But Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. Look what it says here. This is, by the way, we'll use the personal illustration, your pastor and his wife going to Papua New Guinea. But they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. It's hard. My grandfather would be up 4:35 in the morning. If I was staying there, I'd hear that old 1952 GMC truck start. Colder than a moose yard. I mean, it was cold. Going down to the buildings, getting things going, getting ready for his men to start planting. Hard work. Let's go on. There in verse 6 of chapter 126. He that goeth forth weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. Now get it. You go reaping, you come rejoicing. You do it the devil's way, you go rejoicing, you think, and you come weeping. Just the opposite. So there's that law throughout the Bible of seed time and harvest. You sow, you're going to harvest. And you can fool your pastor, you can fool your parents, and be sowing the things that the devil is pleased with, God is not pleased with. You are going to harvest. Sometime, you're going to harvest. But, listen, here we are the 4th of July weekend. we are reaping benefits. We are right now, by our forefathers who decided we're going to have the Declaration of Independence, we're going to have us a nation, and we're declaring ourselves independent from England, and we're going to be a nation, and we're going to have the freedom to worship and do what we feel is right. So they sowed. Are we reaping? Yeah, we've had their privilege now for years. So it isn't just what you sow that you reap. We benefit from our parents. If they sowed good gospel teaching, Christian teaching, family devotions, active in church, you sow from it. I'm one that, I mean, I never asked, do I have to go? It was, we're going to leave for church, and you better be in the car. There's just no question. You were there, prayer meeting, Sunday morning, Sunday night. You say, boy, that was legalist. No, it was good for us. We benefit from our parents sowing and teaching. And though we enjoy the benefits of what others have sowed, who is reaping or who is going to enjoy the benefits of what we've sowed? Many years ago, I had a guy come to our church in New York. He had been a former rock star. He told the story of when he was a boy, his parents were unsaved, and it was a gentleman who he said would come by his house every Sunday. Come on, Peter, let's go. Took him to Sunday school, taught him. Pete said he would try everything he could to drive that guy nuts. And the guy faithfully taught him. And then Pete went off, got into drugs, got into rock music, had a rock band and whatever, and later got saved and became an evangelist. So one day he stopped at this man's house. God came to the door. He says, remember me? Gone with the long hair and all that stuff. He said, remember the boy you used to pick up for Sunday school? And you taught me and wondered? He said, I did wonder. He said, I'm an evangelist. I got saved. But I never forgot what you told me back there in those classes. Here was a man who was sowing and sowing and sowing. And later was like, wow, look at this one that is living for Christ now. A guy who got saved. Yes, though we enjoy the benefits of what others have done, what about others? If you want to reap, you must be willing to spend time in prayer. Time working, time of the sweat of your brow, whatever it might be. If you're a Sunday school teacher sitting here this afternoon and you say, sometimes, Pastor, I wonder if it's just worth an Sunday school class. Sometimes I don't know if the kids are getting it. You make it so much a part of your life that you're just so excited about what you're teaching. And you just, you know, a lot of it is what is caught. What do they hear that teacher is like excited about Christ? Whoa! But the teacher comes in. Well, okay, I haven't had a lot of time. I'm just going to read the lesson to you. Oh, I'm not going to listen to this. But the real sower, he's out there, and he's pouring time into it. Science for teacher, don't give up. Don't give up. If you're another ministry in a church, you say, oh, boy, what a challenge, what a ministry, whatever. You just keep sowing. James chapter 4 says, you have not because you ask not. John chapter 4, verse 37, one soweth, another reapeth. You may sow and sow and sow, and another will reap. I went back to my old church. They have a Bible Institute there, the guy from Louisiana, of course, and they had 9 graduate this year after 3 years. So they asked me to come back to preach Sunday morning, and then Sunday night I preached and had the privilege of handing out these diploma things to the people that graduated. What was fun for me was this, to see folks count up on that platform. I remember when they got saved. I remember one of them, she left the church. She was mad at me for what I was preaching. Just before I left, she came back. She went through 3 years of Bible Institute. Never thought I'd see it happen. And to see them come up. But I'm also seeing now, and this is exciting, people that I would go and visit. One man I'd called him on the phone. He said, I'm not interested. Professed to be saved. Now the new pastor's there, and he told me he's here every Sunday. Well, I'm jealous. He came from, no. He's reaping. You see? He's reaping. And we say, listen, we're all on the same team. We're saved. And so, you see, I'm going to busy sowing. I may not actually see all of the reaping myself. I mean, the guys that planted the little pieces of potato, they weren't out there, not all of them out there picking in the fall. But you sow. And then the gist of the whole thing is this. You reap. Now, number 3. Here's a challenge for you. You know, the farmer up there, because some of them, they grow sugar beets up there. Some of the farmers, they'll do that. they'll grow wheat, they'll grow some corn, but a lot of potatoes. And so they'll sit there and figure, see now, okay, I'm going to get this field to rest this year, and this one here. So over here I'm going to plant this. They plan ahead. This is where I'm going to sow here. This is what I'm going to sow there. This is what my goal is for sowing over here. If they're going to reap, number three, make a list of spiritual goals just as the farmer plans his crop. You know, they used to tell us in Bible college, you aim at nothing, you'll hit it. But if you're sitting and saying, you know what, goals for my life, more in the Word of God studying, more prayer time, or whatever it might be, of sowing, witnessing, whatever it might be, passing out tracts. You got to set a goal. You're going to do that. The farmer does. This is what I'm going to plant. And God helps you and works through you. And you say, this is what I'm going to plant right here. This is what I'm going to plant right there. This is what I'm going to plant right there. I go back to my first church at West Point. There's a guy there that's 6'3". It looks just like Magic Johnson. Only 6'4". When I went there, he was 16. Some of you teenage guys, I used to run a basketball program on Saturday mornings. I was only 23. I loved basketball, so I thought, I'll get some of these kids off the streets to play basketball. But the deal was they had to be in Sunday school the week before. So here's Mal Jennings. He could leave the foul line in the air and lay the basketball in this way. While I'm standing there, white guy can't jump, watching him do this. You know. He got into drug trouble. He drove me through the teenage years. There were times I thought, oh. You go back here to Grace Baptist Church today in Highland Falls, New York. He's a deacon, Sunday school superintendent, on visitation. This is how old I am. When I went there, he was 16 or 17, I was 23. He's now in his early 60s. Boy, it's a joy to see the fruit. Oh, boy. He comes up, he weighs about 260 now, just about breaks my back. Whoa! He calls my wife Miss Hazel, you know, and he loves us. And he just, but I'll tell you, oh, the tears and the sowing and the frustration sometimes with that guy. And yet you look back and say, boy, it's worth it sowing. And a lot of his reaping has taken place in pastors who came after me. They had the privilege of reaping. Make that list. Sow seeds of, first of all, prayer. I want to ask her to raise her hands, but I challenge you on this. How much do you pray for your pastor? I mean, sow some seed there. I'm going to pray for my pastor. And I'm just imagining this because, hey, I've been there as a pastor. Maybe you're saying, well, you know, I'm not getting quite as much of the message I used to get. How much are you praying for him? Don't tell me this unless you're praying for him. And you know what will happen? You're going to say, what struck him? Here's a real one. How many of you have thought to pray regularly for the pastor's wife? There is a thankless job. They have to stand by their man and pray for him. But boy, it's not fun to see people badmouth your pastor, your husband, or talking behind his back, or what? Are you praying for her? How about the kids? Okay, Daniel left here. Now he's an assistant pastor in a brother-in-law's church. Have you ever thought to pray for Daniel? You say, well, how long do you think I've got for prayer? We're talking about sowing. You want to see things happen? Wow! I preached at a men's conference. That's going to be hard. A year ago, I preached at a men's conference at a place called Pittston Farm. You go up into Maine, way up, and way up, a place called Moosehead Lake. You go up around the left of Moosehead Lake about 20 miles, and then you get off onto a dirt road, and 26 miles in the woods, there's an old logging farm. They still feed like they did to the lumberjacks there then. They can house 120 men, and of course they use it for snowmobilers going through in the wintertime. Then the fishermen, the hunters, but then there's a little break in the thing there, and so a pastor friend of mine rents that thing, and I preached to 119 men four times. Wow! I thought, after the first message, I said, Lord, don't let me mess this up. Something's happening. You know what happened? A number of these men told me that at their house, they had prayed days and days for that men's conference. It wasn't the preacher. God said, oh, you're sowing? I mean, I never had to give an invitation. You see guys going off here for prayer, going off there for prayer, going off here for prayer. I said to my wife, I got back, I had been in the most wonderful time. And you felt like, I've got to keep my dirty little fingers out of this. Just preach the word and shut up. And God did the rest of it. I had one man say, I had to go home and get right with my wife. Folks, that was the reaping that I saw from men who spent time in prayer. Whatsoever a man soweth, we always think of the bad side. There was some reaping that week. Unreal. I mean, it was just such a blessing for me. What about not just prayer? What about giving? Oh, boy, you had to mention that, didn't you, Anderson? Are you content? Say, okay, Lord, I'm going to give you a token. Are you saying, Lord, missions, my tithe. Lord, maybe you'll have me help this person give my. My dad was that way, my stepdad. We didn't have much in our home. And yet, Dad, if he saw this guy here say he was having trouble, he never tooted his horn. He'd go over and shake his hand and give him a $10 bill. I know you're having a hard time. He didn't have it to give him, but he did it. And the one time my parents were at a banquet for a Christian college, and they were trying to raise funds to help needy students. And some people passed in their pledge thing, you know, no name on it, whatever. And the man said, wow, look at this one here. Somebody's planted, he's pledged $1,000 this year. And so I got in the car, and my mother said, boy, wasn't that something? Somebody pledged $1,000. Dad said, I did. Honey! He did it. God enabled him. He's just sowing. Lord, let give that money. You know, give so much a month, whatever it's going to be to get it there. Give. My mother couldn't believe it. She was like, and it's not that she was lacking faith. It's just, where's that coming from? The Lord, he told me to do it. You say, well, boy, Pastor, these are hard days. Turn to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 18. Proverbs 11, 18. Proverbs 11, 18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness, there's that word we talked about this morning, shall be a sure reward. Should the Lord tarry? Pastor McGovern will be here X amount of years, whatever the Lord leads. And then the next man comes, and it's going to be a blessing for him if that next man's a good man to start seeing things happen that are the reaping from what was sown years before. See, we're not in it for me. It's like, it's for the Lord. There's a sure reward. What are you planning? What are your goals? Lord, give me some goals. Maybe giving, maybe praying, maybe whatever it might be. You say the circumstances are hard. Not too hard for the Lord. What's the Bible say? With God, all things are possible. The believer who walks in the Spirit and sows by the Spirit of God is going to reap what kind of harvest? Not wicked harvest, spiritual harvest. Praying, giving, witnessing, whatever you want to list. Just do it. And 17 years ago, the Lord laid on my heart to come back to Maine especially, but New England and Alaska. And just try to help churches out. I saw some guys who needed help. And so I resigned. We left, went up the 22nd day of September 15, 2015. I never put any brochure out. I never put a card out, a flyer. I said, okay. Within 2 weeks, I'm on the road. It just started. Boom, boom, boom. Not because of Anderson. It's because he said, go. So he gives the places to speak. He gives the churches in need. And it is fun. It's hard. I went through one with the Corinth Baptist Church last year. Hazel will tell you, that was a tough time. They needed a pastor and a lot of problems in the church. And so for 7 weeks, I tried to help them. They got a new pastor. They're doing fine, last we heard. But I'm saying that joy of sowing and reaping. But friend, you've got a plan. Are you witnessing? Are you praying for your church? Are you praying for your pastor? Are you praying for your family? You never know it, and your pastor is not going to tell you, but I'll tell you there are some times where if you're preaching 5, 6, 7 times a week and you're on the radio and television or whatever, and there are some times you preach that in the flesh you feel like the message went this far from the pulpit down. And you go home and it's like Satan is going, you old rotter, you can't preach anyway. You're not any good. So you have to ask, Lord, you call me to preach? Yes. Because we have blood in our veins just like you do, we preachers. There will be times, and he hasn't told me this now, but there'll be times where it's like, oh, that was a dud today. The Lord says, you just preach it and be faithful. I'll decide what's the dud. You sow. But I didn't see any immediate fruit. We don't many times. And that's coming in another message. You may be hurting, you may be discouraged, you may be confused, you may be angry, you may feel powerless, worthless. The first thing you need to do is get alone with the Lord and pray. Say, Lord, I'm supposed to be sowing. In through the local church, in my marriage, in whatever it might be, I am to be sowing, and I have been taking it easy. Or I've been sowing bad stuff. You know what? We're going to get that about the third message, the reaping there. But what to do about it? Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow, you'll reap. You say, I just feel so lousy spiritually. And the devil wants you to be that way. But you just ask yourself, what's causing this? Are you in the Word of God? Or are you in prayer? Are you faithful in God's house? What are you doing? What is planned? I had a guy in my church down there in Massachusetts. He was a lumberman. And I helped him. He started coming to our church. He got saved. He was going through an awful divorce. It was just terrible. And I counseled him and helped him. And then his dad got saved, died of cancer, and a long story. So one Sunday morning, after church, he came, shook my hand, and Bob said, I need to see you Tuesday night. I thought, okay, let's see, is he having this trouble or this trouble or this trouble? I said, okay, I see you Tuesday night. So Tuesday night came, it was raining, like Alaska weather, you know. And I walked up from the house to go over to the office, and he got out of his 4x4 pickup, and I said, come over to the office. He says, no, get in the truck. Okay. So I got in the truck, started driving. I said, what can I do to help you? He said, nothing. Nothing. He said, God laid it on my heart. You pastors are always helping people. You helped me through some hard times. So tonight, I need to meet with you and not have any problem to meet with you on. We're going to go walk, driving, and I'm going to show you some deer. And we're just going to talk about the things of the Lord. Just fellowship. You and me. What an evening. He was sowing. I didn't know I needed that, but what an evening that was. I mean, he's quite a hunter. He was showing me deer and so forth. But it was just all a spiritual time from a guy who had lived a wicked life. And it was like, Lord laid it on his heart to take me out for a ride in his 4x4 pickup. I'm not saying you're supposed to do that with him now. But God said, do it. What a blessing. And I told him, and I've said to him since, you'll never know, that night was such a blessing. He had planned planting, sowing. This is my project, my pastor. He didn't give me money. He didn't give me a trip to Alaska. He didn't, no, it just was. Let's just spend some quality time together. Fellowship, what a blessing. Now, I think in the Bible, think about this. Daniel, difficult time, prayed. What about Nehemiah? I just finished reading that again in my evening devotions. Nehemiah, building the wall. What did he do? Hard time. Prayed. But he continued planting. When I was in Israel, I stood on a part of that wall that's still standing today. He built this in Nehemiah's time. Acts chapter 16, And at midnight, Paul and Silas were in the prison, and they prayed and sang praises, and the prisoners heard them. And the earthquake and so forth. And then the jailer came in and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And he went to his house, and he and his house got saved. They sowed, and that was a quick recovery there. They sowed, praying, singing, he got saved. There's the answer. And I would dare say, if you're feeling lousy and you're saying, "Boy, spiritually, I just feel awful," I would dare say that one of the key things is you're not praying. You know, praying is a joy, but praying is hard work. You're praying for people. You're getting involved in their lives. You're getting involved in this or that. You're getting involved in your pastor's life. You're getting involved in praying. And then to see God begin to work and answer prayer, you say, "Wow, this is exciting." Sowing. But then, of course, the Bible talks in Proverbs and other places about sowing discord among the brethren. It talks about sowing bitterness and so on. You can go on. We're going to touch some of this later. What I'm saying is this. What's your plan for the harvest? Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You say, "I gave up." So usually, I give up, so I'm going to go and live this way. You're going to reap. That girl was going to the mission fields, a bartender in a restaurant now. And she's going to continue reaping. She didn't want to look at me at all. I'd catch her. She had spent time in my office talking about serving the Lord. Serving liquor now. Heartbreak for me. But she's sowing. I just fear what the harvest is going to be. So I say today, just the plain, simple thing. With this, we're done. If you write down the notes, to reap a harvest, you must sow a seed. Isn't that hard? Secondly, does that mean you reap only what you personally have sown? No, you'll reap what others have sown, too. And then, number three, what about spiritual goals for my life? Lord, you lay them on my heart. What would you have me do? What would you have me sowing in prayer? What would you have me do as far as giving? Lord, what would you do as far as witnessing, talking to others about the Lord? Lord, what would you have me do? I don't want to just sit on the sidelines. I want to be sowing the seed by faith, whatever you lead me to do. Moses, you know, we talked about him. Abraham, we talked about him. And God blessed. You say, "I want to see God work in my life." Not for you selfishly. I want God to receive the glory. Don't be deceived, though. And remember this, because we're not done. We just started dropping the plow in on this thing. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Let's pray. Lord, teach us in these days, Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday morning, about sowing. And Lord, the principles that we find in God's Word that we didn't even know or we've forgotten about. Sowing and reaping. But you won't be fooled. You won't be played around with. We're going to sow to the flesh, or reap of the flesh, corruption. But we're going to sow the Spirit. Oh, help us be thinking about what can I be doing for the Lord that He would lead me to do. Sowing and reaping. Seed time and harvest. Speak to our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.